All right, sure you all know, and we'll get to it a little bit, but just wanted to start that all the, any learning, any chizik should be Lili Nishmas or Aaron Lichtenstein. A giant of a gadol, a giant of a tzaddik, a tremendous, tremendous loss for Klal Yisrael, and it's incumbent upon each and every one of us to obviously fill that void somehow with the Torah that we learn, with the way that we serve the Rabbeinu Shalom. Any of us who met Rav Aaron Lichtenstein just for a moment, any of us who've heard stories, who've heard about Rav Aaron, so, you know, when we have this once a week with Monday Musar, we have Chizuk, he was a walking Sefer Musar in every single way. And it's a tremendous loss, and Mirat Hashem, he should be a male Joshua full of Klal Yisrael. And we should try, Bezer Hashem, to take Chizik from his life and Vada from his Torah. We'll get to a couple stories about Rav Aaron that I've heard from some of Talmidim in a few moments. You know, during the days of Sfiras Omer, and obviously if you open up Parshas Emor and you read about Sfiras Omer, so in the psukim themselves is merely a discussion of the count from the Karban Omer until the Karban Chadash. Very little understanding of any depth from the psukim themselves and why this count is so important. What is Usvartan Lachem, Imachas Yavis Miyama, Viachem Esomer Tuva, Sheva Shabbat Tmimos, what it's all about. But we all know the way we understand through Omer, the way we've always been taught. We learn from the Chinuch, and we learn from the Ran and Psachim, that these are very special days of Achana for Kabbalah Satorah. Very special days to prepare ourselves for the Heilige Yontav of Shavuos, excited, counting towards those special that special time. And we all understand, and we've spoken about it here before, that Kabbalah Satorah is the final step in a certain sense. Maybe not the final step, maybe that was entering Eretz Yisrael on some level, but it was a very important step, and of the last steps of true cheres, al tikri cheres el cheres, true freedom. Freedom is not in the American culture way of eat, drink, and bear merry, do whatever I want, whenever I want. Then all that happens is I become a slave to my desires, a slave to my temptations. Freedom is the freedom to be able to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu without anything holding me back. The freedom to live up to my Tafkir HaChaim. Yes, when we left Mitzrayim, we were no longer in servitude, we no longer had Shibud, Malchias. But were we completely free to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu? How can we say we were free when we had no way to serve Him? We had no understanding of how to serve Him. It wasn't until Kabbalah Zotorah that we're ultimately free. And the question then is asked, and many of you know the answer, why was it then that we didn't receive the Torah immediately when leaving Mitzrayim? Maybe we should have left Mitzrayim, crossed over the Yamsuf, and right away had Kabbalah Satorah. If Kabbalah Satorah is so crucial to our freedom, so important to being free, why did we need this buffer zone, this time from Pesach until Shavuos, these 49 days of Sfiras HaOmer? So Rav Chaim HaKadosh in Parshas Emor, he talks about this. He talks about this and he explains it based on the Zohar. And you all know this, I believe, that we are on the 49th level of Tuma when we left the Mitzrayim. Halolu of Deva Dezar, Halolu of Dezar. We were the lowest of low. And on such a low level, we weren't fit to receive a Torah. We were so impure. The Torah is so Kadosh. It would have been meaningless to us. We would not have been able to have dealt with it, know what to do with it. We just weren't ready. And we needed then these 49 days to count, and not just to count, but to prepare and to be mitar ourselves from that state of Tumah each day, growing another level until what? Until we reached the level where we're fit to receive the Torah by Kabbalah Satorah. Those are these 49 days. 49 days then of tremendous growth. They're not just 49 days of counting. They're 49 days of growth. And this is why, as many explain, that we count up. Often the famous question of the chinuch, should we not be counting down? When we end the, maybe you remember from high school, you know, when you're towards the end of the year, you start to count down. 10 more days left, 9 more days left. That's how we count in excitement. Why are we counting up? Maybe we could suggest we're counting up because we're counting our growth. We're growing these days. We're becoming closer and closer to being fit to receive a Torah. We're being mekadesh ourselves and being metar ourselves. Oh. In a very complete fashion, we have to be. You know, we all know the pasuk is Sheva Shabbazos Tumimos. There are 7 complete weeks. There's a lot we learn from Sheva Shabbazos Tumimos. First of all, we learn that you're supposed to count right at Tzeis HaKochavim immediately. To the best of your ability, immediately at Tzeis HaKochavim. So it's Tumimos. You count complete days. Well, if you count 3 hours later, you're only counting 21 hours, not 24 hours, right? So you count right away at Tzeis HaKochavim. We also learn there's no such thing as early Shavuos. Generally, there's a mitzvah of Tosefes Shabbos, Tosefes Yontif, perhaps. Shavuos, you can't have early Shavuos. Because Shavuos is after, it's not on a particular date in the Torah, it's after Sheva Shabbazos Tumimos. After 7 complete weeks. If you have early Shavuos, you're cutting into those 7 complete weeks. Can't have early Shavuos. The Bahag also perhaps points to here as a source that it's one big mitzvah, Sheva Shabbazos Tumimos, not as the Rush holds that it's 49 separate mitzvahs. But maybe we could say as well, if it's Tumimos, and we're saying it's not just a halach of counting, it's a time of growth. The growth has to be betmimius. I have to grow completely. I have to have a big amount of growth. The question is how? In what way? What should we focus on these days? What should we focus on? What should our growth be focused upon? I just want to share what I believe. We understand, we have to understand how Bnei Yisrael grew during these days. In order to understand what we should be working on, how we should be growing, we have to look back in time and say, how did Klal Yisrael prepare for Matan Torah? How did they grow from the 49th level of Tumah until reach a level where they were ready to receive a Torah? So I suggested something this past Thursday night, but I want to go on a different derech. That's what I deeply believe. There's a line we all know that's thrown around often. We learned it when we were younger. Our moras used to teach it to us. Our rabbeim used to teach it to us. Derech eretz kodmo l'Torah. Anytime, you know, a teacher, a mora, a parent wants to enforce the importance of derech eretz, the importance of interpersonal relationships, the importance of acting like a mensch. Derech eretz kodmo l'Torah. But maybe that line is very literal. Derech eretz kodmo l'Torah means derech eretz kodmo l'matan Torah. Kodmo l'Torah means before we were willing or able to receive a Torah, we needed to work on our derech eretz. You see, Bnei Yisrael, they didn't have a Torah yet to work on, right? They didn't. If I want to work on myself, I want to grow. I want to work on myself. I want to grow. So I have Torah. I have within the Torah 630 mitzvahs, 630 ways I could choose or pick a particular mitzvah that I want to work on. My kavanah, my tefillah. I want to work on how much I cherish the mitzvah of tefillin. There's all different mitzvahs and ways I can work on myself. God gave that to me already. Bnei Yisrael left Mitzrayim. They didn't have a Torah yet. So what did they do? What did they do? What did they meditate on the concept of God? So perhaps we could suggest, Derech Eretz Kol Mal Torah. They worked on their interpersonal relationships. They worked on their midos. They worked on their sympathy, on their empathy, on their care for each other. Kol Mal Torah. That was their avodah. Let me bring you a couple of rayas, Ladover. There's a Gemara, the Gemara in Saita, Daf Beis, and tells us, Kasha Zivugim Kriyas Yamsuf, right? Kasha Zivugim Kriyas Yamsuf. That a Zivug, to have a man and a woman come together and build a Shidduch, is Kasha Kriyas Yamsuf. What does that mean, Kasha Kriyas Yamsuf? What does Shiduchim have anything to do with Kriyas Yamsuf? And what's kosher to the Ribbono Shel Olam? What's difficult to the Ribbono Shel Olam? Something's kosher to the Ribbono Shel Olam. Nothing's kosher to the Ribbono Shel Olam. So I thought as follows. I thought we could suggest that imagine the scene where 2 million Jews, 2 million Yidden, leaving Mitzrayim, they get to the Yam Suf, they have a water body in front of them, the Mitzrim are running after them, Sus V'Rachma, with horse and chariots and bow and arrows and knives and chveis, they're scared for their lives. Nachshon Menachem Yonadav jumps in and suddenly the sea splits. Should have been pandemonium, right? Trampling and pushing and... We should have read, maybe in Chazals, which we don't, about injuries and deaths. A few years ago, it was like on a Black Friday, one of those days, those big shopping days here in the Walmart. And just to get into the Walmart, they trampled and killed somebody. Just because suddenly the doors opened up and everybody together, 100 people, 200 people, and someone was killed. 2 million people, the water opened up. But we don't read about such. Why? Because immediately when they were leaving Mitzrayim, Derech Eretz Kadmo Torah. When I'm not caring about myself, I'm caring about Yenim, I'm caring about you, and you're caring about me, we get through peacefully. 2 million Jews caring about each other, peacefully they could cross through a Yam Suf. That was the godless of Kriyas Yam Suf, the Derech Eretz that was worked upon, perhaps. And that's what's kasha. That's very difficult. Naturally, a person is a little bit selfish. I'm caring about myself. I want to live. To care about someone else is kasha. It takes something. It takes some growth. It takes some maturity. That's kasha by Kriyas Yam Suf. And by the way, it's the same kasha of Zivugim. To have a man and a woman from two different backgrounds and their whole lives have grown up with two different sets of aspirations and desires, and to come together as one and be mevatel myself completely for somebody else, to care about someone else more than I care about myself, and become one, it's kasha. It takes a lot of maturity, it takes a lot of growth. That's kasha zivug and kriyas yamsov. But that we see is immediately what Bnei Yisrael was working on when they left Mitzrayim. Derech Eretz Kadmal Torah. And we see the culmination. Now we understand deeply that famous Rashi on the words in Parshas Yisro, Vayichin Yisrael Neged Ahar, that when they stood at the mountain, when they were ready to finally receive the Torah, Vayichin Yisrael B'Lashon Yachid, it should be Vayachin V'Yichin Yisrael. And Rashi tells us, Ke'ishacha B'Lev Echad. We all know that. It's a song as well, right? They were like one person and one heart. But now we understand the significance in that. That unity, that achdus, that care, that empathy, was the hakdama, was the hachana, was the way they grew during these 49 days. That is our avoida during these days. Our avoida is derech eretz. Now we understand as well why specifically during this period we have the velus of the Talmidim Rabbi Kiva, which really on the surface has nothing to do with the counting itself. But the Talmidim Rabbi Kiva, as we all know, why did those 24,000 Talmidim perish? Shlo nagu kavod zel zeh. They didn't have the proper respect for each other. They didn't have the proper respect for each other. When else should they die? During specifically the time of the year when we're supposed to be working on that. That's the time when they're going to perish. And we have this avelus during a time when we're supposed to be excited and growing. Because the avelus and our beards on our face and our not having weddings and not listening to music, all of that is a great reminder of specifically what I should be working on during these days. It's a reminder of that, of Elus, of the Tamina Merkiva, to remember, I have to work on my Kavod Zelze. That's what these days are about. I have to, we're very makbid, everybody, am I still counting? Did I miss a night? I have to make sure so I can't stop saying a bracha. We're very makbid on the counting. Or we makbid on the Ben Adam Chaveru, on the Kavod Zelze, which these days are all about. Are we makbid on our growth, on our preparation in this way? You know, we just had a Yom HaShoah. The Holocaust is a very complicated inyan. Now's not the time in the last few minutes we have to get into it. But I always personally look at the Holocaust and the tragedies and the Kenem al arts of the Holocaust to try to take chizik. How do we take chizik? Meaning listening, like, were you guys here the other day when the Wahlberg spoke, when Mrs. Wahlberg spoke? You were here, right? To listen to walking Kedoshim who went through that Gehenna Malaris, lost their whole lives, and have such a moon and build families. To me, there's no greater chizik in the world. And there's so much to look at, and the stories, and the Mesiris Nefesh for Torah Mitzvos. Yidden were risking their lives to put on tefillin, risking their lives to have a matzah, risking their life. Mesiris Nefesh ain't komo. There's tremendous chizik to be taken from the Holocaust. But in Bein El Nochavero, there might be the most. When you hear the stories, and you heard Mrs. Wahlberg said the story, now's not the time to tell over the whole story, you all heard it. But a story with Nisim Gluyim, because she had Nisim Gluyim, she had that scar on the side, so she was saved. So her sister recognized her because she had that scar on the side, right? Her sister recognized her and pulled her out of the line that was going towards death. But did you stop and think about the unbelievable Mesiris Nefesh, the Bein El Nochavero, that her sister risked her own life to save her? The Nazis could have killed both of them on the spot if they saw such an act. The care and the hisvadlus. I don't care about myself, I care about you. I want to do for you. The love between Klal Yisrael, the Derech Eretz between Klal Yisrael. I just read a story. Tzaddik Rav Yisrael, who was a Belzer Chassid, who was a Balkoyer for Belz. And he was a survivor of the Holocaust, and he passed away. This was a bunch of years ago already. And a Yid walks in, didn't know anybody, walked in to pay a shiva call, and he walks over to the family, to the children, and says, I want to tell you a story. He says, I was in Auschwitz with your father. And one day I was walking around starving, looking in the garbage, just looking anywhere I could find to find something to eat. I was starving. And I bump into your father. I didn't know him then, but I see another Jew. And he's also doing the same. And I say to him, I'm starving. He asked me, what could I do for you? He saw that I was in pain. I said, I'm starving. Is there any food? And he says, I'm so sorry. I'm also starving. I also have nothing. But I could do for something for you. And what does he do? He stops and he gives me a big hug. And he says, I want you to know, I love you. They never met before. This Rabbi Yisrael says, I love you. I love you. You're my brother. You're another Jew. And not just do I love you, the Rabbi Nishom loves you. And this Jew said, he had such chizik from that. It gave him a strength that he survived the Holocaust in every moment of his life. He didn't stop thinking about that. And he said there were times when he thought about giving it all up. Giving up his emunah, giving up the things he saw that we can't imagine. But he was always reminded that hug, that care, that Bein El Nochavero, that gave him the strength to survive and to be one with Hashem. Talking about Rav Aaron Lichtenstein, I could tell many stories that I've heard. I heard once one of his Talmidim, Rav Aaron Lichtenstein, originally, I believe it was his first entrance into the world of Chinuch, was a Rebbe in MTA. In high school first, I don't know how long, maybe probably not so long, before he was a Rashiv in YU, and before he obviously made Aliyah and became the Rashiv in Gush. And they were on a class trip. And they got back, at the end of the day, it was dark, it was night. Talmidim all got off the bus. One of the Talmidim, I heard this from this Talmud, he's looking around, where's Rav Aaron? He's looking around for Rav Aaron. For his Rebbe, he wanted to talk to him, ask him something, he couldn't find him anywhere. He goes back on the bus. He sees Rav Aaron Lichtenstein on his hands and knees on the bus collecting any garbage the Talmidim dropped. The bus driver shouldn't have to do that. He himself is collecting all the garbage. The Bein El Nochavero. And he has a giant of a tzaddik, of a Talmid Chacham we can't even understand, start to understand. But his care for every other person, care for others, is doing for others. I'm no better than anybody else. The anivus, the humility. The Bein El Nochavero, derech eretz kodma l'Torah. Not to embarrass him, but I have to tell the story because I learned a lot from it. I learned a lot from it last week. From about your Rebbe. Okay? Last week. I can tell many stories, but just one because I learned from it. And I grew from it. I'll tell you how I grew from it, because I'll tell you, I'm embarrassed to say. Listen, so I daven my shir, and Rabbi Yudin's shir, we daven our own little minion in the library. So somehow we always finish way earlier than here. Okay, some of the chevra in the room remembers. Somehow we start much later and earlier, but that's a whole other discussion for another time. So I'm always the first Rebbe in the Rebbe's room. I'm sitting there last week, I think it was Monday, I walk in. And your Rebbe, Rabbi Leibowitz, always often is the first one, or first Rebbe to walk in. And I'm sitting there, but I was eating a little breakfast by the computer, taking care of something, whatever it was. And that particular day, it was the first day, I think, back from vacation. All the chairs in the Rebbe's room, there's two tables and a desk, and all the chairs were up on the table, and they were like, you know, faces like this. They were all stacked up on the table. They weren't down. It's probably about, I don't know, 12 chairs altogether, maybe. The two tables and by the computers. So I walked in, and I took my one chair down, sat down, and was doing what I needed to do. Rabbi Leibowitz walks in, and he goes, before he does anything else, takes down every single chair and puts it down. And I learned a lot from that. I thought to myself, why didn't I even think to do that? I just, mamish, just sat down, like, thinking everybody will take down their one chair. But it was a small act, but such a meaningful act. So that no one else has to do that for themselves, and they should be ready for it. And I learned a lot from that. And it's happened a few days since now, Baruch Hashem, I learned to do that. But I didn't at first. It's a small act, but a big act of caring and thinking about others, putting others before yourself. That's Derech Eretz Kodmah LaTorah. That's the midos that we're working on these days. As we're going to read in a couple weeks, V'haftu Lecha Kamoicha Ani Hashem. V'haftu Lecha Kamoicha. Once we work on V'haftu Lecha Kamoicha, then we come to Ani Hashem. Once we work on Derech Eretz, then we come to Kabbalah LaTorah. And it makes sense also. I don't have time to explain it in the deepest of ways, but when we're willing and we're able and we understand what it means to be mevatel myself for other people, then I could start to be mevatel myself for God. Then I could start to be mekabel Torah. Then I could start to say, hisvatlus. Kadosh Baruch Hu comes first. Ratzon Hashem comes first. First I have to start with each other because it's a little bit easier because I see you. I see you in a very physical way. So when I'm mevatel myself for others, I'm mevatel for the Rebbeinu. Similar to how the Chinuch talks about Kivra Veim, why it's on that side of the Luchos together with the other mitzvos, Ben Olam Makom. That's these days, Derech Eretz Kodmah LaTorah, these days of Sfira. And when you come to that, you come to understand the godless and the Rebbeinu Shalom as well, the Ani Hashem. So one last story for Aaron Lichtenstein, we have to say it over, one other unbelievable story. See, he had the Ben Olam Chavero, but another story I heard from that same Talmud. That same Talmud was very, very close with the Mishpach, with Rav Aaron, with his Rebbetzin, and he was a Ben Bias. And one year he was by Rav Aaron on Tisha B'Av. Maybe often he was by him Tisha B'Av. And after Tisha B'Av in Eretz Yisrael, Tisha B'Av everywhere, it's a long day, it's a long fast, but in Eretz Yisrael it could be 100 degrees, it's a very difficult fast. The end of the day, and this Talmud is very excited to go eat finally, he goes to the house, and the Rebbe's there, and she has a whole spread ready. Rav Aaron's nowhere to be seen. And they wait 10 minutes, 50 minutes already, better. Maybe a half hour after the tightness, whatever it is. So finally he goes and looks, and he's trying, looking all over, he can't find him. Eventually finds him in the Beis Medrash, in his office, off the Beis Medrash. In his office, he's sitting and learning with the Gemara. And Rav Aaron, he looks up, says, Rebbe, we've been waiting with the Rebbezin. You see, to Rav Aaron, after a Tisha B'Av, on a day that you can't eat, but it's also a day you're not allowed to learn Torah. Right? Tisha B'Av is one day a year you're not allowed to learn Torah. Rav Aaron needed to run to the Torah way before he had to run to fill his sustenance of his guf. He had to run to what was lacking from his neshama. He ran to sit and learn. And he sat and learned for a while after Tisha B'Av. When you have this hisvatlus for others, the Derech Eretz, then you come to the Ani Hashem, after Echa Kameicha. By the way, Kadosh Baruch Hu sent me a little matana. If you take the Gematria, V'ehavdu L'Echa Kameicha Ani Hashem, V'ehavdu L'Echa Kameicha Ani Hashem is 907. Exactly, Gematria, Zu Hachana L'Shvus. This is the Hachana L'Shvus. So Be'ez Hashem Yisbarach, we should be Zoicha. Have this Derech Eretz, to work on Derech Eretz, think about ways, in a real way, to help others, be there for others, small things, say hello to people, whatever it is, that's the Yimei Svira, to be Zoicha, to be ready, to be Mekabel Torah, Be'ava, Be'yira, Be'ez Hashem Yisbarach.